Alright, Romans chapter 8. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you, or has set me, free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. How did he do it? He did it in sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh, I like King James, you know, Old English, they said to be carnally minded, all right, is death. But the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. What it means is that the mind that is set on the things of the flesh produces death, or is subject to death. But the mind that is set on the Spirit produces life and experiences peace. He said, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. Please notice this, is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That is, if your mind is set on the things on the flesh, you cannot. Now, please notice this. It's not that you will not try. The issue is that you will not succeed in pleasing God. Are you getting the point there? Now, please follow these things. I'm going to expound them further. Now, however, to the believer, he said, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. For if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that's the same thing as the Spirit of God there, he does not belong to him. And if that Spirit of Christ is in you, that's verse 10, if Christ is in you by that Spirit, though the body is dead or subject to death because of sin, yet the Spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Now let me read that the way it's written in most Bibles. It says, yeah, the Spirit is life, or is alive, because of righteousness. But actually what he said is that if the Spirit of Christ is in you, if God is present in you by his Spirit, even though naturally speaking, your body was subject to death because of sin, he said, yet that Spirit we give it life because of righteousness. That's what he was saying. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised, just this is an explanatory note now, all right, that Paul is putting here. This verse 11 is an explanatory note, that this is how it works. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised the person Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. Now, please, do you understand that? Now, I'll explain it further anyway as we go on. Now, from verse 13, he said, continue from 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, please, I want you to notice this verse 13. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, I will try and explain this thing, all right, in simple modern day words so that we can easily relate with it. Because once we think about it like religious terms, we lose the import of what he was trying to explain. Now, what Paul explained here, they are real, they are tangible. Now, you know, we are discussing, we began last time talking about this series of the fruitful life. And we said what we want to try and explain is how Christians get results. Please, let me review briefly before I read the second portion of the scripture that we are going to read today. We read that one last time, 2 Peter. Now, let me just quickly review where we were. I'll just quickly list the things that we said last time. Number one, we explained that there are different laws in life, all right, that you can look at, because everything has laws, has rules, that's the way life is. There are different levels to those rules in life. There is, number one, the physical laws. These are the things we study in physics. These are the laws of, they are common laws that we all know. So you know that everything that goes up must come down. We all know that one, all right? Now, the physical laws, of course, they include things like, you know that if you put your seed in the earth, it should come up and germinate. Now, from that, we progressed to still common laws, all right, but spiritual and moral levels of that. So you know that he that shows mercy, we obtain mercy. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And we said all these things, these are moral issues of life. In fact, in the Eastern religion, like in Buddhism, they have the law of, is it Buddhism that has the law of karma or Hindus? Anyway, they have those laws. They believe that what you do in this life, you come back in another life and reap the reward. Now, the law of the scriptures, the understanding we have from the Bible, doesn't allow us that, but it explains actually the same principle, but their own, in our own, you don't have to come back to this life. We understand that whatever you sow, you will reap. And the Bible says that God is not mocked. We know that as a matter of fact. These are common spiritual laws. Please, I want you to understand this. They apply to everybody. They apply to the Jew. They apply to the Gentile. They apply to the atheist. Even though you say there is no God, all right? You cannot, because you say there is no God, vex and walk out of a window. Do you get my point? On the 15th floor of a building, and expect that the fact that you have said there is no God means the gravity that he created will no longer work on you. Are you getting my point? You walk out of that window, all right, without a parachute, believe me, you're going down, and you're going down big time, all right? And when you hit the floor, you will know indeed that there is God, because you shall soon see him face to face. Now, these are the common laws. That's what I'm trying to explain. So you see that there are two levels there. Physical and spiritual, or in bracket now, moral. Now, having said that, we said there is one law that supersedes all of these. And we said that's what the Bible said here in the book of Romans chapter 8 here, that is called the law of the spirit of life. And it is found only in Christ Jesus. It does not, listen to this, apply to anyone who is not of faith in Christ. It is not as if, and these are the things, you know, I said to you last time, please, let's understand it very well. Let's not be confused. The fact that we are in the world does not mean we are of the world. All of us may eat rice. Do you get my point? It does not mean we are all the same thing. All of us may live in the same kind of buildings. Jesus said it clearly. You may be in the world, but you are not of the world. The fact that you jump up and you have to come down after jumping up does not mean you are of the world. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? But periodically, and you see, let me tell you something about things of God. It's not every day you see the difference. In fact, Jesus told us simply, if a man is building wrongly, another man is building rightly, you will not know who did what until the day that the storm begins to blow. Are you getting my point? So that's the mistake we make. In fact, the Bible says it clearly also, that because judgment is delayed, all right, men continue to do unrighteously. That is because a man who did right and the man who did wrong, in fact, Solomon, having meditated under the sun, said it appears like, look, the same fate befalls the good man as the bad man. So he said, don't do too much good, don't do too much bad. Just try and balance, because whether you do good or you don't do good, it looks like you are going to die anyway. Do you understand my point? But Solomon said that that's looking at it under the sun, that there is something beyond the sun that will allow you to understand what is really going on earth. And as I'm going on, I'm going to talk about purpose again. There is a purpose for everything, all right? So what I'm trying to bring out here is this. So you might see the common things, it appears to apply, like it applies to everybody, but there are times of testing. There is what the Bible calls the day of the visitation of God. There is the day of the vengeance of our God. There is a day that will burn like an oven. These days are coming. Until those critical days, you may not know who is right and who is wrong. What am I saying? There are times in which there will be a manifestation of the law of the spirit of life. So that you, every day you have been jumping up and you have been going down. But a day will come that the trumpet shall sound and you will go up and you will not come down again. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's a matter of fact. Every day you have been jumping up and you have been coming down. A day will come, all right, that you will rise up from the dead like Jesus Christ and begin to go up and find out that you are not going to return down. Because there is a different law that's keeping you up. Please, I want you to bear these things in mind. So every day we move around commonly. Those common days may not express the real difference between you and the person that is not a believer. And therefore, all right, you must understand something, okay? That even though things are going on commonly, you must not lose your identity and think you're a common person. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? The fact that you go to work, you see, oh God, let me emphasize this improperly. Somebody said something long ago that Joseph was not the only person in prison. Can you remember Joseph? Neither was he the only person that was wrongly accused. Do you understand my point? But there was a purpose in his own imprisonment. Do you get the point I'm making? There was a purpose in his own imprisonment, which made it clear that this man is not the same as everybody else. Some people went to prison, and even God forgot about them. It appeared like. Unjustly, they went to jail. They died unjustly, and nobody ever read their story again. But Joseph went to jail unjustly. You know the rest of the story. How what I'm saying is clear to you. That, listen, there are three levels of laws. The mistake we make a lot of times is that we sit, when people learn some spiritual laws, they are excited. I don't know where I get my point. It's like you just enter secondary school, or you start doing physics. You go back home to your younger ones, or let's say add math, additional mathematics. That's what we did when in secondary school. So they start talking dy dx, differentiation and integration. When delta x over delta y or delta y over delta y begins to tend towards zero, delta y over delta y begins to tend towards dy dx. You start speaking all kinds of fantastic things. Because you have come out of the midst of ignorant people, your former age mates. Now you have entered into a new realm of understanding. Therefore, you start showing off. Now, that's on the physical things. Alright? Spiritually also, people do it. That's why you find a man goes to read Buddhism. Read the stories of Buddha or John's Grail message. Because he went to church in which all they taught him was how to serve God according to what the Bible calls rote order. That is, he said, the fear that these people have towards me is composed only of traditions learned by rote. That is, they crammed it. So, as the service is going on, there's a time to get up, there is a time to sit down. You don't know the significance of getting up and the significance of sitting down. Therefore, a man who just learned some basic common laws, he says, in Grail message. So, he carries you one day and begins to show you some true spiritual laws, but that are common laws. Because you are an ignoramus. Do you follow my point? You didn't know anything. You are captivated. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're suddenly, you are out of your normal zone. And you are thrilled. You are excited because a man learns some common laws. And a witch gives you a testimony of what he or she could do and you are excited. Are you getting the point I'm making? Because somebody just learned something that is beyond your level. You think he means he's spiritual. Listen to me, he's not spiritual. He just has more learning. I don't know what I get my point. He just has more learning. And I'm sorry to say, some of those things, okay, because they appear good, they mislead Christians. Do you follow my point? A Christian also, because as a believer, you also learn these things. You will know the law of mercy. If you learn it enough, you know the law of mercy. It's a common law. Believe me, it's a common law. That this is that shows mercy shall what? Obtain mercy. These are common laws. Let me tell you, but Jesus preached it. I didn't say they were wrong. I'm just saying that he didn't die to establish them. They were established before he came. He didn't die to establish them. And like I said to you, if the experiences of my life will not be different, all right, so that's okay, Muslims experience this, Hindus experience it. I said, so what is the issue about Christianity? If you cannot explain it to me, then you have not yet understood why Jesus died. You have not yet understood why he came. People were practicing, who that shows mercy shall obtain mercy, long before Jesus came. A lot of the philosophers who lived before him taught a lot of those things. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm explaining. So I'm not saying they are wrong. They are right, but that is not the meat of Christianity. And you will see as we go on, as you walk closer with God, you will operate and obey all the common laws. Are you getting what I mean? And get the results, all right, as they favor you. But there are times, listen, there are laws you are breaking you don't know. Do you know that? Jesus said that there are different kinds of punishment. There is a punishment in which you knew what to do and you did not do it. You get a lot of punishment. He said, but there's a punishment you get because you did not do what was right, even though you did not know that it was right and was supposed to be done. The difference is that you get small punishment. Those are the words of Jesus. Do you understand? Now, that is one place where you begin to experience the third law. Do you get what I mean? The law of the spirit of life. Because therein is a mercy of God, different from common mercy. Let me explain something to you. The mercy of God is different from common mercy. The mercy of God is predicated on one thing, sacrifice. That is, there must be the shedding of blood. Are you getting my point? If God shows a man mercy, all right, why he showed him mercy is because there is judgment reserved to be released on top, on the head of the sacrifice for his sin. The mercy of God is tied to the release of a sacrifice. What I mean is a blood sacrifice. Because most of when we hear sacrifice, you know, this modern day Christianity, you tap mercy with sacrifice. Sacrifice money, you know. And that's not what I mean, please. In Jesus' name, that's not what I mean. What I mean is this. All the sins that God forgave in the olden days, they were tied to the sacrificing of animals, blood. But those blood, the blood of those animals couldn't even do the real work. It was just a down payment for the real sacrifice, the person of Jesus. What am I saying? So that's a point in which the common law breaks down. So you see a soul that sins and he does not die. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Normally the soul that sins should die. But this soul sins and he doesn't die. Why? Behold the Lamb of God that took away all the judgments that common laws dictated. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is where the realm of Christianity actually is. Therefore, when we are declaring the gospel, this is interesting. Believe me. The gospel was preached by the Old Testament prophets in codes. They did not even understand what they were saying. Peter told us as much about that. Listen, for the seals to release those things to be broken, Jesus had to die. Listen to me. It was after he died that his disciples, all right, and especially people like Paul, began to release for us to understand really what it meant that Jesus died. Jesus couldn't even teach the disciples. Trying to tell them that I must die, revolt. Peter said, no, it must not happen. He said, there are many things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them now. Let me say this to you. I like to say once in a while. For you to tell a Jew those days that there's no difference between you and the Gentile, it was not thinkable. You couldn't tell them. Because the way God brought them to a particular level, and the way they had lived over years, what Jesus would have loved to tell them, look, after this my death and resurrection, you guys are not special anymore. But they couldn't bear it. Look, listen, Peter, after all the experiences he had, he wouldn't agree to go to the house of Cornelius except there's vision and revelation. Even after that, one day he was eating with the Gentile Christians. He saw people coming from Jerusalem. He began to change his mind. Hey, bro, Peter, you like another helping? He said, no, the Lord is speaking to me right now to go up and go and pray. Paul said, my friend, sit down there. This is your spirit of prayer that came on you suddenly just because people are arriving from Jerusalem. Because the people couldn't get the point that we are now the same. And I'm sorry to say, but let me say it again so that the whole world will hear. The major hindrance to the evangelization of the Arab nations, the Islamic nations, is the preaching of the gospel from America. That they keep on lying to the whole world every day. That God is supporting the Jew against the Palestinian. That they keep on lying to the whole world. That you are doing God a favor if you gather and tell your senator in your district to make sure that no matter what happens, his voice is cast in support of Israel. That is Christianity. Believe me, it's a lie. I'm not a Jew. I'm not an Arab. My father is not a Muslim. Do you get my point? I'm not being sentimental. I'm telling the truth. The coming of Jesus did things to the world. Till today, the average Christian, they can't conceive of the fact that God actually loves Osama bin Laden as much as he loves Isaac Rabin. They can't conceive it. That's why a preacher the other day was talking. He said, "I hate Barack Obama. I hope that he dies and goes to hell." Was on YouTube. And a CNN reporter walked up to him. He said, "I've said what I said. I'm not changing my mind about it. That's my opinion. Please excuse me." And he shut his door. Jimmy Carter says, all the rubbish they said about Obama is only because he's black. He insists. Now, I know that may be an extreme. But let me tell you what. Those are the things that Jesus did to bring that black man to the same level as a white man. Are you getting what I'm explaining? Let me tell you the truth. The supremacy. Look, if I say some of these, people won't understand. They think I don't know what I'm saying. The supremacy of the white man over the black man didn't start today. It was prophesied by Noah. It's not today. Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants will he be. And that was when Ham sinned. Ham, one of the sons of Noah, he sinned. And no, I was wondering, why did Ham sin? And this man said, cursed be Canaan. Canaan was a son of Ham. There are sons of Ham were Put, Cush, and Mizraim. Are you getting my point? Now, I now realized it. Actually, now, please, I don't have time to explain. If you want to hear this, go and get our series with the spiritual, what they call our school of Bible exegesis of about 3 years ago. I explained this in that time. When he said, cursed be Canaan, he actually did not say, don't have time to explain. Noah did not say, cursed be Canaan. Noah said, cursed be Ham. But Moses, listen to this. This is not, the scripture is correct. Because if you read the Bible in context, Moses was narrating for the Jews why they were taking the land of Canaan. That this taking of the land of Canaan did not start today. It was when Noah pronounced the judgment. You go and see. Abraham was not a descendant of Ham. I think it was descendant of Shem or Japheth. Those are the people that came out superior on the earth. These things are spiritual. When you will see that Jacob took a wife and the father gave the wife a servant. And took a second wife and the father of the girl gave the wife a servant. And Abraham went into Egypt and came out with Hagar, an Egyptian. All the servants were descendants of Ham. A natural black man, I'm sorry to say this, I'll cut this out of our TV broadcast because it will shock the earth to hear this. The natural black man was born inferior. I'm not joking about it. That's why there's no nation he has ruled till today. Show me one. In modern day, that they have done well. South Africa was built by the whites. Nigeria, we used to be better in 1960. Yes, because that was when the queen was still ruling you. Listen, oh my God. These are spiritual laws. Oh. There is a spirit indeed inside the black man. It keeps him under. And listen, I told you that there are common laws. I told you about common laws, right? Let me tell you something. When there's a spiritual force beyond the common, driving people in a particular direction, it employs common laws in its favor. Do you hear what I said? It employs common law. That is, anywhere you will see a man love his brother and be willing to sacrifice for his brother, they will all go forward. That's one thing you never found about the black man. Never. He took his brother and sold him as a slave to the white man. The white man didn't need to raise slaves. He waited on the shores. The kings took their men and sold to the white men. Till today, the problem in Nigeria is selfishness. That is why they will make you governor of a state, and it is okay with you to pocket 100 billion naira and drive to your office on roads. And you've been to America, you have been to Europe using the state funds. You have seen what the places could be. Yet, it doesn't move your heart to see your people suffering. Oh, foolish idiots that you are. How much can you eat? Then you die suddenly, they bury you 6 feet and jump on your grave so that everybody will know. You may have been a general who will jump on your grave. For records, they jumped on Abacha's grave. Abacha was buried in a hurry. And NTA showed us one man was. It's a spiritual law. He's pushing the man. So the man begins to operate common laws against himself. So there's he that withholdeth and tendeth only towards poverty. So instead of the man to be generous, he keeps withholding. Why? Because God had decreed he will go down in poverty. Listen, when God decreed that Israel will split and the house of David will lose their throne over the whole of Israel, Rehoboam did not have the ability to listen to sound counsel. People tried to counsel Rehoboam. He couldn't hear it. The ability to perceive wisdom is a gift of God. When Ahithophel turned against David, David knew that even though God was on my side, if Ahithophel is against me, I'm doomed. Come on, Lord. So what did David do? He went into the realm of the spirit to kill the counsel of Ahithophel. So he turned to God and said, oh God, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. And God said, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. I can't. So you know what God did? Don't worry about Ahithophel. I will deaden the ears of Absalom. That's what I can do. So Ahithophel came, gave the soundest judgment possible. So sound was the judgment and the counsel that when it was turned down, the man went to commit suicide. He knew now. Come on, the guy knew. He said, you don't follow this, we are gone. Your father is going to come back and we're all dead men. Let me spare myself the trouble of being killed by your father. Once they refused his judgment, the man told them what he knew. I'm trying to bring out something. When there is a spiritual law running somebody into decadence, he won't do what is normal. That's why I'm talking about how Christians get results. They can tell you, rise up early. That's how real men succeed. You will try to rise up in the morning and your legs won't move. You will make appointments for 7 a.m. You will remember, but the spirit of slumber will come upon you. You won't get up at 7:30. That's why I want us, because the Bible says that, listen, we read that from Romans. He said, he that is minded, that his mind is set on natural laws, is subject to death. That's what he said. That's how I will explain this in common when he said that, to be carnally minded. What it means is that if I think that these are my principles, they are natural laws. If I do this, if I do that, if I do this, if I do that, I will get it. He said, you have exposed yourself to death. That the Christian who wants to succeed, he operates a law higher than that which is common. Very crucial. I'm bringing an issue here. So you see, you know why the black man kept on running down? Think about it. Which nation of this earth have they released him into and he has done well? Think about it. When I knew the South Africans had hope. Although there are many issues. When Mandela took over, and the first thing he did was to try and reconcile everybody, I'm sure a preacher called him and gave him the counsel of God. The man was wise. Even with all of that, 8 years after they took over, sweeping blackouts all over the nation. White men are not used to blackouts. When they build a nation, the power doesn't go down. We can't see this outside. It's painful. A lot of our kick, jack, and everything, we're all the same. It's ignorance. I'm trying to bring out something. So people will go and twist what you are saying. So I'm not saying that the black man was ordained. The white man is supposed to be ruling over the black man. That's not what I said. Was that what I said? No, that was then. I'm trying to bring out the issue of the law of the spirit of life. That Jesus brought some things that people couldn't conceive. Now, this was what Jesus did. He took the curse that was upon Ham and all his descendants and nailed it to the cross. So that even though Noah said, cursed be Canaan, Jesus said, not anymore. I don't know whether you heard me. Even though Noah said, cause be Japhet. Cause be Cush. These are the things he said. Because he placed his curse upon Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. They were all descendants of Ham. Yeah, and Moses narrowed his narration down, okay, to Canaan. If you look at it well, it was upon all of them. So even though Noah looked and said, cursed be Cush, and cursed be Mizraim, those are the ancestors of the Africans. Jesus looked and said, not anymore. Are you getting what I'm explaining? Listen, when Barack Obama became president, America is not the Bible, but they are currently the greatest nation on the earth, physically speaking. The whole world puts their hope in America. What do I mean? China has external reserves of over $1 trillion. Is it 2 trillion now? It's 1.8. Good. It's not euro. It's not pound. It's not Chinese yuan. Neither is it Japanese yen. It's what? Dollars. What it means is that if America vaporizes today, all the labor of the Chinese over the last 50 years just disappeared. So when Barack Obama became American president, forget all the things that happened outside. Let's go into the realm of the spirit and understand things. It's a sign of the times. It's a sign. And people don't understand. It was even significant that he was raised by white people. That these strangers will build up your walls. You don't get what I'm saying? What am I trying to explain? That when Jesus showed up, it was to, look, all those things that kept the black man can't do this. Yes, there was a reason. Noah began this thing. But God was not, you know, God was not perturbed. God wasn't disturbed. Because he knew that the thing will last just a few days. Because with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. So just a few days, it will be over. I told you that we exist on this earth to demonstrate the righteousness of God. So that you understand that no matter how wrong things go now, let me tell you the truth. I said it before, believe me. Once Jesus died and rose again from the dead, every excuse for calling a man, a woman, a failure was removed. And that's what I want to explain, how Christians get results. Because you will find out, all right, that it's about promise. All that God operates is what? Promises. So God will look and things will go wrong and he will promise, the seed of this woman will bruise your head. Now, that as it is said, Satan will fight for thousands of years, but that seed is coming and is bruising that head. To be carnally minded, when I was young in secondary school, I thought carnality was wearing of lace, using of makeup, and stuff like that. Then as I grew, I understood more about carnality. Lying, cheating, fornication, adultery, stealing, murder, carnality. The truth is that those things are not carnality. Those things are sin. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. There's a difference between evil and fleshly minded. Flesh mindedness is that I have settled down. I have looked at my life, the amount of effort I put into building my business or acquiring my degree. Okay, I have a first class in engineering, therefore I have gone to maybe Glo, Zane, MTN to work, and I have gone to get a further qualification, so specialized in certain nanotechnology, and I know that no matter what, I will always get a good job. That's carnality. That's what it means to be what? Fleshly minded. To set your mind on the operation of common laws. Let me tell you something. Once God pronounced the judgment against Adam, I need to explain that as I go on. The judgment that was pronounced against Adam, it was not just upon him, it was upon the whole earth. Are you forgetting my point? God didn't say, Adam, You're in trouble. You know what he said to Adam? Cursed is what? The ground, the earth, because of you. The earth was affected. So any man who puts his hope in the productivity of the earth is cursed. Let me say this. I don't mean this as an insult. Any man who puts his hope in a nation on the earth is cursed. To be cursed means to be unlucky, to be exposed to things going wrong. To be cursed means to be empowered to fail, or the empowerment to succeed being withdrawn from somebody's life. That's the meaning of the word cursed. Listen, I told you, adults can run for any reason. Either because something is chasing them, or they are chasing something. So when we are talking about nations of the earth, whether you go here, you go there, you have to ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Listen, what am I going to say? If you put your hope in a nation, what it means is you're carnally minded. Do you get my point? Listen, it is not traveling to nations that I'm talking about. You can go anywhere. But why are you doing what you are doing? To be carnally minded, it doesn't mean, when I was young, I thought it was sin. You look at woman too much, that's carnally minded. That's not carnally minded, that's lust. Are you getting my point? Carnal mind is very nice. A carnal mind can be a very holy pastor. A carnal mind can be celibate. So there's a difference between a man walking in lust and iniquity and flesh, iniquity of the flesh, than a man who is fleshly minded. To be carnally minded means to put your hope, to make flesh your strength. And the Bible says, cursed is the man who makes the arm of flesh his strength. He said, he will not see when good comes. Are you getting the point I'm making? So when God cursed Adam, he said to him, cursed is the earth because of you. Listen to me, no matter how much you read the stock market well, it will make you die in poverty. No matter how good you are with the building of businesses, it will make sure you are frustrated and you die. Because the laws you are operating, a curse was placed upon them from the beginning. Part of the curse is what is called, I'm inventing these words, cyclical failure. That's it. They will tell you, real estate, real estate, real estate, real estate. A lot of people, you know, you see this crisis that Nigeria had. Many things cost it. That's our banking sector. The MDs really didn't chop money. There are some MDs who took cuts from the loans, I know. But most of them didn't eat the money. They gave to smart people to invest in businesses. I saw Waziri, the EFCC madam. She was describing on TV how one man took 1 billion naira. And this is how she said it. 1 billion. 1 billion. And it was very annoying when the CNN reporter, because it was on CNN, interpreted it into dollars. It came to some, maybe like 60-something million dollars. He was annoyed. I said, come on, get away. That's not how you calculate it. 1 billion is not the same thing as that, whatever million dollars you called it. It's not. It is 1 billion naira. There is a significance to 1 billion naira. If a man holds 1 billion naira in Nigeria, he will say like God, once again I shake the heavens and the earth. But Americans can't say that if you owe $50 million. You can't. Anyway. I hope you are following me. So, the woman said 1 billion. That the man, he borrowed the money to buy crude, buy petroleum products. He imported refined products to Nigeria, sold them, made his profit, and instead of returning the money to the bank, he took the money to Dubai and bought houses there.